BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Welcome to Illuminated from BBC Radio 4, the home for creative one-off documentaries that shed light on hidden worlds. All human life is here, just waiting to be discovered.
Have you ever spoke in public and you get nervous and you just think, oh my God, what am I saying? What do I do? It's like a million times that, but you know what I've got to show you is going to be great. Just wait. We did the world record the day before, absolutely chuffed with ourselves. 142 knives in under 2 minutes. We then got a phone call from the TV show called This Morning. They would like us to recreate the record, but see how many knives he can throw in 1 minute. We just arrived in the black cab, feeling like stars to tell the truth. There's going to be millions and millions that are going to watch JD throw knives around me. Hair, makeup, costumes on. I just remember it happening like a flash. And I think we were on literally within minutes. I just remember the heat of the lights. I remember looking at JD and he looked really nervous. We've got a brand new board that we haven't used before. JD's got some new knives that he hasn't really used. His hands were sweating, slippery fingers, but show must go on.
30 seconds.
Next thing I know, I can hear the sound of them knives flying past my ear and some of them not digging in. And it was like dropping cutlery.
20 seconds.
He even started to throw them a little bit harder so they would dig in.
10 seconds.
And then I felt a bump on my head. I knew instantly that he hit me.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Stop throwing.
But Fern seen me. Very good. And she's just shouted. Oh my God, there's blood.
Let's get one thing straight. I'm not a target. The knives are meant to be thrown around me. Target girl is inaccurate. You can call me Ula, the painproof rubber girl. Trained by an ex-Olympian Soviet gymnast, I picked up sideshow arts in 90s New York City. I step up to the knife board in my bespoke version of PPE, personal protective equipment. 3 padded bras, a thick blonde wig, a dress with varied hemlines to make my silhouette as big as possible. And him? He picks up the knife. What's the worst that could happen? An audience member deliberately tries to disrupt. A flash of irritation strikes the knife thrower. An act of God.
My name's Jana Hansen. I'm a 6th-generation Russian circus performer. When I was growing up, my mum said, rather than, what do you want to do when you grow up? Her question to me was, what act do you want to do? All of my family mainly were high wire walkers, trapeze artists, floor acts, bendy. My mum was quite bendy. I did none of them. I always wanted to do things for myself. Have a suitcase with my props and it'll just be me. Until I met JD. I remember him walking into this big elephant circus shed. My heart sunk. I think I knew what was going to happen. I've even said to my friend, I think I'm in trouble. I've been watching you. The song Ocean Blue Eyes, that was JD. The most handsome boy I've seen. He was only 6 months to a year older than me, but it just seemed like a lot older than me. And with this dangerous act, and he didn't have an assistant. And I thought, if I don't do this, somebody else is going to get in the act. How hard is it to stand still and have knives thrown at you?
His arm retracts. The knife shimmers. I mentally prepare by going through my risk matrix. In order to form a matrix, you must first characterize the system. Crowds are always unpredictable, but audiences of magic and circus are generally pretty calm. The show's too late for families, but early enough that people aren't totally wasted. I'm sharing the ring and eye contact with a man who is happily married, has a track record in knives, a degree in physiology, and a tux that's not rented. His hands are steady, but there's a glint in his eyes. I raise my right arm to give him the signal. His fingers part, the weapon is released.
Chrissy Cocktail, Melissa.
Okay, in the Svetlana, 23 years I've been performing, I've probably had
Lynn,
20 plus
Ekaterina,
target girls.
Bonnie.
I don't trust AI to make human decisions. I don't trust food on the shelves of large grocery store chains. I don't trust anything I see on social media. I do trust the great Throdini to throw knives around me.
My real name is the Reverend Dr. David Adamovich, retired professor with a doctorate in exercise physiology. I'm also known as the great Throdini, the world's fastest and most accurate knife thrower. My friends call me Thro. I was a professor for 18 years. I was out of a job. I did the most logical thing a 50-year-old ex-professor would do, and that was open a pool hall. One of my customers came in with a small throwing knife. Neither one of us knew what it was. We both threw it into a tree. He slapped it off. I stuck it. And I said, hey, Joe, I think I can do that. 9 months later, I was a world champion.
I breathe in. All distractions fade away. It's like no one else is there. My eyes are wide open. If I can see what's coming, I can always move or even catch it at the last minute.
Well, I've done one at 102 knives around the target girl in a minute. I bumped that up to 144. I've thrown a 14-inch knife into a 12-inch round at 101 feet. I've also thrown 10 knives in under 4 seconds. I've just about held every possible record there is.
The knife rotates a half spin in the air. My back is against the board. If the point misses the mark, it will hit me, but not stab me. Probably.
There is no secret. Everything is real. There's some magic, there's some comedy, but for the most part, it's all real. I'm throwing real knives around a real human.
The audience is silent, waiting, mouths open. Inside my head, it's quiet. But the space trickles in. The floor in this theater is not as solid as Throdini's studio. Everything shakes and echoes.
I sometimes bring an audience volunteer up on stage and I ask them to look behind the board because everybody thinks the knives are spring-loaded that are coming from behind the board. No way. It goes from my hand to the board. I'm often asked about how do I feel? Am I afraid? There hasn't been one show in my entire life where I haven't stood there before going out, where I run through all the risks, all the dangers, all the craziness, and ask myself, what are you doing? Every single time, without fail, I learn to bundle it up and walk out on stage when I'm introduced and go to business.
I see a flash of silver as it approaches. 10 feet. 5 feet. The eyes and the nose are always the most at risk. I try not to twitch.
the feeling of standing next to the person that you love. It's just like standing at the knife board. The lights are on you, the butterflies, the excitement, and all you see is him. I just wanted to be with that man. So I was willing to put my life at risk to be part of his act and part of him. The love in it made it all seem like it's nothing. Obviously, couples argue. Once we went into that ring, we have never carried on the argument. I just knew as soon as that curtain opened, it didn't matter. He would never, never intentionally do anything to hurt me.
Knife throwing, or I prefer the term impalement arts, has a long history full of legends. The Roman Emperor Domitian was an early practitioner, pointing his blades at wild beasts and humans. In the 1880s, the Wild West showman Buffalo Bill brought it to Europe, throwing knives around his wife Rosina.
Up to Mother Luella, who is no mean hand with a handful of knives.
Luella Gallagher, a 1950s Texan housewife, threw knives around her two daughters, aged 5 and 2.
Sharp with a cleaver.
And a knife-throwing act was one of the first pieces of entertainment broadcast on television.
I see his hand make the motion, but I don't see the knives coming at me. My name is Amanda Jane, and I have been a Target girl for about 4 years. Life is very short, and you can sit around and sing the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, or you can just do it and see what happens. In 2022, I had to have a really big life-changing surgery. I lost 2 inches of intestine to endometriosis. I was under anesthesia for 8 hours. They had to call my now ex-husband to ask if they were able to remove this blockage. It was very, very scary having no control, and somebody else had to make a decision for my safety. Being put in that situation where I had no idea what was happening inside my body, to my body, and then having, you know, the doctor speak to a man to get permission to do something for me. It's still weird to think about.
This all requires much less thought and effort than my other job, hanging on to something 10 meters off the ground for an aerial number. In the run up to this throw, I charmed the audience as best I could. I made sure to stay on Throdini's good side. Better to be safe than sorry. I put the things I can't control out of mind. I do have agency. I can move from the board anytime I sense something's amiss. Not that I ever have. I'm still, so still.
I was home on the couch for about 2 months, just kind of rethinking what did I want my life to look like. I went onto Facebook and noticed a post that somebody was looking for a magician's assistant. And I thought, well, I can assist somebody. That's easy. As we were training, they'd asked me if I wanted to be a Target girl for the great Throdini. And I went over to Throw's house. And as we park the car and start walking up to the driveway, I see this big red and white board. There he is hanging out in the driveway with a handful of knives. Like, this is how I die.
We kind of go from the easy stunts up to the more difficult ones. As we move on through the act, you have that component of me taking them to the edge of their seat.
And we went on to the next trick and the next trick and the next trick, and I just absolutely fell head over heels in love with it.
Allow me to introduce you to a few of my favorite tricks.
Number one, Wheel of Death.
I'm secured to a rotating board, arms and feet strapped in. 1 second for the wheel to spin, 2 knives thrown per second. my body all a blur, as perfectly executed throws fill the gaps between my limbs.
Number two, the profile.
I turn sideways, arching my back deeply. The handle rolls over my rib cage before the blade sticks. Knives trace my body's silhouette.
Number three, the double blind.
A blindfold throw. Put a hood over his head and place the knife in his hand. I conceal my form with a screen. We are completely disconnected. All that remains is trust.
Trust is something that I do not find easy to give. You really have to earn it with me. I do not open up right away. I've been working with Throw for so long. He's not just my boss and my knife thrower. He's my friend. He's family.
Every target girl assumed I was great and the best at what I did. So they were putting their faith in someone who wasn't going to hurt them.
The second that I step onto the stage, everything just completely disappears. And you're just ready and you know what to do. And the collective, it's like, that's why I'm here. This is great.
That whole concept of trust between myself and the target girl, my problem was sometimes developing the trust in them.
To build this deep bonding relationship with somebody that sneezes in the middle of throwing things and could potentially, you know, it's intense. It's a different kind of bonding that I didn't really think would exist. Being a target girl, I am actively making the decision to put myself in this situation. This is my choice. I am happy to be here.
I'm always asked if I miss, and the answer is always the same. I aim to miss. They last longer that way. Think about that for a moment.
It's amazing how quick the knife comes, but you still have time to think. Trust, risk, danger. We can't be sure who or what we can trust, and the new risks we face are unknown. I knew exactly what I was getting myself into when I stepped in front of the board a few minutes ago. What about you? Do you understand the risks you take every day? Online, in your car, with your money? If the answer is no, I see you as more of a target than I ever was.
When you hear the sound of that knife coming towards you, it's like the swooshing sound of a big bird flying next to you at like 100 miles an hour. I remember them whisking me away off the stage from the studio, and JD came to me. He pulled me back. He looked at me. I remember he's holding my shoulders, and I remember him saying, "That's it. I am never throwing another knife again. If it was just one inch lower, you would have no ire left. I can't do this." As I turn around, this man with a camera said, "Excuse me." So I faced him and he took a picture. And that was the picture that everybody seen in all the newspapers. I was also too scared to tell my parents what I was doing and what I was getting myself into. And I didn't tell my mum for a long, long time, bless her. She only found out by somebody in the Russian circus bringing her a Russian newspaper saying a lady got stabbed by a knife on TV. After the accident, we got taken to the hospital and I still had all my costume on and there was blood down the side. We look up on the TV and this morning program's on. And there's about 50 people there, and they all look over at me. But the lady at the reception obviously didn't see it. I think the TV wasn't facing her. And she says, "So what, are you okay? Or, you know, what is it?" I said, "It's a head injury." She was like, "Oh my God, should we call the police?" I said, "Well, no, actually, It was stabbed at me by choice. I agreed.
Do you see yourself in me while I'm standing in front of the board? Are you shaking in your chair, worried about me? Or do you wish you were the one throwing the knives, silently and casually hoping this night will be my last? Why are you so drawn to this image of a woman pinned to a knife board?
Actually, how many of us really know what coercion is? I'm Annabelle Holland, and I enjoy the fact that I'm one of very few female knife throwers, and the only one that I know of that actually throws knives at men.
You just stand there looking pretty, and I'll get ready. Theo, how are you doing there? Are you all right, my friend? Here we go.
I was touring with a classical circus. I used to hang off ropes and trapezes and stuff like that. My wonderful colleague Simon Deville was a fourth generation circus performer, and his uncle was Chick Rogers, a very well-known and revered knife thrower. So Simon used to get the knife board out when we weren't doing shows, and I'd stand there and he'd throw knives around me. I 100% trusted him. But there was a point where I went, hang on a minute, I don't want to be the one having the knives thrown at them. I want to be the one throwing the knives. My character is 1920s. She's called Coco Glico. She's a bit of a... She likes her tipple. She likes her bubbly. And she's got a handbag. And that old adage of never look in a woman's bag. She will choose someone from the audience who's going to come and be her target man. I ask for consent before I take the knives out of the bag, and then I will highlight the fact that that's not actually consent, because he doesn't know what he's agreeing to. And then I get the knives out of my handbag and he realises the enormity of what he's volunteered himself for.
Okay, Theo, how are you doing? You okay?
Then he's suddenly put under pressure to stand in front of the knife board, in front of all of his friends and loads of strangers, and on a stage which he may not be comfortable doing.
We have Theo's consent. We're going to go ahead. Are you in, everybody? Okay, great.
So once he's blindfolded, I throw spoons at him. So the audience is in on that. He's terrified. He's heard the spoon hit the stage. He has that seed of doubt that I can actually achieve my goals and send him back in one piece. And then I get the knives out.
We're going to get a bit kinky now, my friend.
For me, it's not about power. It's about the fact that we're all in this together. I wanted to make people leave my show and have a talk about it with the person they were with. Oh, I didn't think about it like that. Oh, coercion's that. Maybe just change the world a little bit.
I fulfill a need or a craving. We're all capable of anger that needs unleashing. Maybe you have a thing for controlled violence, but unlike your video game or favorite movie, this is actually happening.
When an audience is really engaged with you, they'll lean in towards you. They'll be waiting for this thing to happen.
Personally, I feel the most beautiful thing about knives is they are very tangible. It's catching the light. It's audibly cutting the air, releasing the violence inside you in a safe way.
It's delicious. It's like that point where time almost stops.
This is the thrill of real-life risk.
He changed quite a bit after that. The whole situation, I think, maybe made him realise and see a little bit of a different side to our relationship. I think it made him realise that it's not a game anymore. Also, it's very unheard of in a circus for anybody to take time off. But JD took a week off. You know that's serious. He went before the show a week later and he threw the knives on the board. And I said, do not throw knives around me. We'll get in that ring. And that's when you throw knives around me. Everybody's gasping. The silence just before.
The one thing I wasn't prepared for was the sound of the knife hitting the board. It's so close. A loud thud that resonates in the skull.
And all of a sudden, there's a very loud thump right next to your head.
The board jerks with the force of each stab. Quite violent, even though it's only timber, not flesh.
The cheer. That is my adrenaline.
And then it's done. It's your turn to do something. Applaud, shout, laugh, stand, whatever.
We carried on with the show. We travelled Portugal, we travelled Ireland, we travelled Scotland, Japan, and then I had two babies. That's when I decided to give my kids a bit more of a choice than what I had. I have stood once for another knife thrower. I did not feel comfortable and I didn't do it again. But I said to JD, you're probably the only person that I'd still stand on a knife board for, even though we've been divorced for a good few years now. I probably would do it again.
If you'd be willing to take advice from a target girl, how about this? Any risk you can choose or predict is worth your time. Don't run and hide. Find it. Embrace it. Interrogate it. Feel it. Conquering small calculated risks might lead you to recognize those that hide in the shadows.
I view my target girl as an equal and a partner on stage. If she was simply a target girl, or the lack thereof, because I aim to miss, she would just simply be there. After the stunt, I take her hand, I bring it to the front of the stage, and we take a bow together.
Have you ever made yourself a target for something? Are you sure? Any risk you choose yourself is better than one chosen for you.
You've been listening to Illuminated from BBC Radio 4. If you want more one-of-a-kind documentaries like this one, then subscribe to the Illuminated feed on BBC Sounds.
Hi, I'm Mariana Spring, and I'm the BBC's social media investigations correspondent. This time on Mariana in Conspiracy Land 2 for BBC Radio 4, I've been investigating the case of Paloma Shemarani, a 23-year-old woman who died of cancer, having rejected chemotherapy in favour of alternative methods. Paloma's brothers say there's more to the story. They say her decision was influenced by the views of their mum, Kate Shemarani, a vocal British conspiracy theorist who shares misinformation about cancer online, a version of events which she disputes. Join me as I try to find out what happened and what Paloma's case tells us about the mainstreaming of anti-medicine ideas. Listen on BBC Sounds.